I'm an anti-feminist because I think it's oppressive. I think it's anti-male. I think it's anti-femininity.
Now, it may be a very weak Brexit, but I tell you what, Brexit of any kind and leaving those treaties as well.
That's the best ever interview. With Michael Parkinson, you got nothing on this book.
Pro-life advocates are simply pro-birth. At least, such is the common accusation, among many other lazy slurs, by pro-abortion apologists of their counterparts. What they mean is pro-life advocates only care about the baby until it is born, at which point they are revealed as the callous control freaks which pro-aborts always suspected they were dealing with. They allege pro-lifers do nothing to support mothers with an unplanned pregnancy or their babies who are already outside the womb. The inconvenient fact, easily discovered by anyone with an internet connection, is pro-lifers take the lead in providing vital services to vulnerable women and children. A network of committed donors and volunteers have made great strides in supporting mothers and their infants since the legalization of abortion 50 years ago, and usually without any government subsidies or media support. Centuries ago, it was churches which built and paid for orphanages and first provided universal free education, always believing every living human, uniquely made in the image of God, is equally precious and deserving of life, compassion, and the ability to read scripture for themselves. There are well over 2,300 affiliates of the three largest pregnancy resource center umbrella groups in the USA alone. Over 2 million women are supported by these services each year. Pro-life groups operate over 350 residential facilities for women and children. There and elsewhere in the Christian West, these centers provide services including prenatal care, STI testing, STI treatment, ultrasound, childbirth classes, labor coaching, midwife services, breastfeeding support, nutrition consulting, social work, abstinence education, parenting classes, material assistance, and important post-abortion counseling. Occasionally, the challenge to pro-life sincerity will specifically be that the people advocating for the equal human right to life, from fertilization to natural death, aren't so serious as to actually adopt a child. The inference being, therefore, they aren't really pro-life. The obvious non sequitur aside, Christians are statistically more than twice as likely to adopt a child than the population average. According to Barna Group, while only 2% of all Americans have adopted, this rises to 5% among practicing Christians. Practicing Christians are much more likely than others to have seriously considered adoption or fostering. Worse yet, it is the progressive left which is actively attacking and undermining care for children already born. They would rather shut a Christian/conservative adoption agency down than let them continue to help people adopt babies in a manner consistent with 2,000 years of religious conviction. Agencies which believe every child should be given the chance to be raised by a mother and a father wherever possible are targeted by political left activists for closure. The human cost of the assault on faith-based adoption agencies has been catastrophic to children in the system. Forced to choose between obeying God or immoral legislation, Catholic Charities was shut down, leading to the displacement of more than 2,000 children in 2011, 11% of more than 17,000 kids in that single state looking for a place to belong. Homosexual couples are not prevented from adopting or fostering by the continuing existence of adoption agencies that prefer to place kids with married mums and dads. Yet, to target just such an agency with activist lawfare, lesbian plaintiffs in an ACLU lawsuit in Michigan had to drive past at least two other adoption agencies that would have worked with them. The evidence is conclusive. Pro-life advocates do continue to care for women facing unplanned pregnancy, no matter their choice about an unplanned pregnancy. For children before and long after birth, and for the society which funnels parents into circumstances where they may even be faced with such a difficult decision. In 1984, President Ronald Reagan proclaimed a national day to observe the sanctity of human life on the anniversary of the legalization of abortion in the Supreme Court. In 2020, Australian churches are proclaiming Sanctity of Life Sunday as a national day for God's people to bear witness that life is a sacred gift from God, to compassionately minister forgiveness and healing for past abortions, and to promote community-based resources supporting women facing an unplanned pregnancy. This non-partisan, non-denominational, Christian initiative seeks to resource churches to lead a transformation of the culture into one which affirms the sanctity of life and encourages national leaders to also publicly promote a culture of life. If you would like to add your church to the list of congregations bearing public witness to the nation of the sanctity of life, as well as to your church community and by extension those in their circle of influence, you can get more information at sanctityoflifesunday.com.au, where pastors and priests can add your congregation name and get free resources for sermons and services to suit your church community. There's also a petition to the Prime Minister asking him to make this an official national day on the website. G.K. Chesterton once wrote, "We do not want a church that will move with the world. We want a church that will move the world." The Australian church is not waiting for a national leader, but taking up its leadership as the people of God to declare the last Sunday in May as Sanctity of Life Sunday. Each of us bearing witness to our nation by publicly celebrating God's sacred gift of life, created in His holy image. Get involved today at sanctityoflifesunday.com.au. Hey there, this is Dave Pellow. Just letting you know, if you want more from Pellow Talk, then you should head to my website, davepellow.com, and subscribe to email updates. You can also join the debate on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. This episode of Pellow Talk was made possible by the generous monthly sponsorship of Pellow Talk Partners.